fellowship is what I wanted to talk about. And I'm really, truly blessed to be here, thankful to be here. And go to 1 John, please. 1 John is something that's really unique. It's deep. It's important. It's deep. It's I think it's bigger than what most of us think. You know, I named our church Christian Outreach Fellowship 25 years ago at our anniversary, or we will have it. I don't know. I don't think about those things. But it's been a long time. God's given us the mercy to do this. Christian, it's like I named my daughter Christine. Christin. That's why I named her Christine. Christin. Outreach, it's the purpose of our lives. And fellowship, which is what I want to share with you now. It's the Greek word koinonia. And it's a noun. It means, in the Bible, fellowship, partnership, communion. It also means intercourse. It's meant to be a really intimate, wonderful word. I have a partnership with my wife. 46 years we've been together. We take vows. We take care of one another, raise the family, been through tough times, good times, bad times, all kinds of times. We are one with each other. Okay? You have God in Christ in you. That is in Colossians 1:27, the glory of the mystery. That is what God wanted. He wanted to dwell in you with our Lord in you. He wants to be one in fellowship with you, in partnership. And that's the word I'm going to use mostly, because I think the word fellowship is, it doesn't ring the bell anymore. You know, partnership. You share fully together. Whatever the profit is, you share fully. Whatever the bad times are, you share fully. You share fully in partnership with Him. That's what He wants. He wanted children, right? Now, I don't need kids. You know, you didn't push them out and have nothing to do with them again, like a fish. You know, the fish have, they have kids, they have offspring, and they swim away. And mommy and daddy fish never know who these kids are. That's a little ridiculous, right? But that's not how it works for us. That's not how it works with us and the Father, Almighty God. That's not how it works for us in the church. See, whether you like each other or not, you know, and, you know, not everybody gets along, right? We're not all in the same mental, emotional background, all the rest of the stuff that goes on in life. You and I are stuck together for eternity. Think about that, right? Wrap that around your head. We are family for eternity. So you might as well start to take care of each other now. But I just wanted to make the impression of what this word, this partnership is that we have. See, I have you as my family, my brothers and sisters. And we are children of the Almighty God. We're all in the same family. And if you really dwell upon this thought, then your attitude towards each other, how you deal with each other, how we deal with the stuff that goes on around us, how we take care of each other, how we stand for each other. Remember I did that teaching on you got to hold the rope, pray for each other? So I think that one stuck out in people's minds. I talked to Doug the other day, and he was so blessed. He's doing mentally, physically, spiritually, he's doing so well. He's got really super big challenges in front of him, and he's going to go for other tests. And we're just praying for a miracle because that's what he needs. But he's so enriched by the care and the prayers that he has heard from everyone. That's the way it ought to be. We got to hold the rope for each other. We got to fight for each other, not with each other. You know, you care that way. So this is the subject that I want to talk about. Now, obviously, I got to do this in the scripture, right? So go to 1 John chapter 1. It says, in verse 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which you have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. See, this word, which is life, eternal, this word which John is sharing with them, God inspired for him to give this to us, this word is life. And they've seen it. They heard it. They handled it. I mean, just think about John. He's the oldest of them all. He outlasted them all. He was with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. I think he's the one that Jesus loved. You know, the one that sat laid on his bosom. I think. Didn't say, but that's what I think. He's seen this from the beginning. Beginning of the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he says this, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard we declare unto you. This word of life is declared unto us, that you also may have a partnership with us. And a partnership, the word fellowship, partnership, just think of it that way. We have a partnership with one another, and we have a partnership. And our partnership is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I want to bring something. I just want to ask you a question. You can go to Acts chapter 2. We'll be back in John in a minute if you want to keep your finger there. 1 John. Acts chapter 2. What our life as a church, as believers, is supposed to look like. It says in Acts chapter 2, this was on the first day of Pentecost, right? And Peter stood up there and told them, you guys killed the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said, this is the message, this is the word, the promise that God has made. He's made it in verse 38. He said to them, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What you heard today, you heard these individuals manifest. You got a message from God this morning. I hope you remember it. It was so good. And then he says here to them, he says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify, exhorting, saying, save yourselves from this untold generation. Change and save yourself from the darkness that's in this world. And you know what? The world hasn't got any brighter since. This is 2,000 years ago. It was dim dark then. It's dim dark today. I don't think it's any darker today. I think it's the same devil, the same spirits, the same everything that racked and ruined and gave havoc back then are the same thing that goes on today. It's going to go on until our Lord comes back. Verse 41, this was their reaction. They that gladly received the word, they were baptized. And the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued together in the word and the apostles' doctrine. And fellowship, there's that same word again, in partnership. And with breaking of bread and in prayers, they acted like a family. They acted like a family. They prayed together. They ate together. They enjoyed each other. They were with each other. And fear came upon every soul. Great awe. I mean, these guys didn't have fear like they got in the world now, right? They had, wow, such awe and respect for what was going on, for the word that they heard. For the, remember the light? That light, the power of the Spirit, the doctrine of the apostles, the family that they had now. Great fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. You know, you don't get signs, miracles, and wonders without that great awe and fear of the Lord and respect. You know, if it's just, there's no, don't be expecting any miracles. One comes to the other. When your heart is in awe, you watch God work. You've seen this in your lives. Each and every one of you have seen this before. When you're kind of like, what is the word for that? Yucky? You know, spiritually? When you're just like nonchalant and don't worry about it, everything's okay. Don't worry, be happy, baby. That ain't going to cut it with God. There's no miracles and wonders and signs. When there's an inner fear and respect and an awe for God, there's a partnership that you know he's with you and in you and working within you and opening your eyes to see the truth. That's when you start to see things happen in life. And all they that believed were together, and they had all things common. Remember, they had fellowship. That's the other word for that, common, together, partnership. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man hath need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking of bread from house to house, that they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And the result is they praise God. Praise, sharing grace. They shared grace and having favor with all the people. They praised God and shared grace with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. God wanted people in that group. God wanted people in that. And he added to it. See, if you got a, if you have a group of people that's got contention, strife, and, you know, all this other stuff in life, they're just carnal Christians, kind of. The Lord ain't going to add to that. Why would he? Why would he send a brand new babe into a dysfunctional family? You think about it. If you had a kid that needs to be adopted, would you put him in the middle of turmoil? Or would you try to find the nicest home around? Same thing with the Lord. What does he want from his people when it comes to each other? We'll get to that in a minute, but love is one of the things. Forgiveness. If you ain't get that in a marriage, you ain't got much. Have that in a fellowship and a church, you ain't got much. I just think it's unique to see it. Go to 1 Corinthians. Well, I told you to keep your finger in there in John. I'm sorry, we're going in a little different direction. We will get to John in case you want to keep your finger out of it, but not right away. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Because it's not just about us. I wanted to give you a flavor because I think it's very practical that we could talk about how we are to be with one another. And I'll get back to this again. I'm going to flip back and forth. But this is also spiritual. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the same word is used. In verse 16, it says, the cup of the blessings which he blessed, is it not the partnership? The communion is the same word. Is it not the partnership of the blood of Christ? Think about it as a partnership. Communion, I think, gets too religious for people of certain backgrounds. It's the partnership. He died and bled for you so that you and he could have the same benefit. He gave his life for you so that you could live for him. It's a partnership. That cup, that bread, is the symbol of this spiritual reality that has been done for us in our lives. This partnership of the blood of Christ, the bread which we break, is it not this partnership of the body of Christ? It is a partnership, a fellowship, a communion. What he has done for us. Do you believe that you're going to be saved and be a part of the kingdom?
Yes.
Got any doubt of that? No doubt. You believe Jesus Christ died? You believe that he is your Lord? You believe that God raised him from the dead? You believe, you really believe that you're saved? Well, you should, if you do believe. If you don't, you better hurry it up and get there. Because those of us who believe that and are saved, we know that we have God in Christ in us, right? This hope of glory. We know that what Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost is to us. These promises are to us and to our children and to all those that are afar off. If we understand and know that God has given his son, he came born in a manger, you know, that whole beautiful story, his son came and he lived his life, he preached the word, he died died on the cross. He gave his life and God raised them from the dead. That's the synopsis of the gospel. Then you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Then you believe that truth, then you have eternal life. And I'm not challenging you like it's a trick question. If you really believe God gave that to you just because you believed the truth, just because you believed and came to an understanding and he poured out all this to you because of what Christ has done, as it says here in chapter 5, verse 21, for he hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us. God accepted this offering. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He made him to be sin so that I could have his righteousness. That's a partnership. He did that on the cross. God accepted the offering, the blood. His body was broken for the transgressions of our lives and from Adam. His blood was spilled to cover our sins and pay for it. And we believe that. And we have God in Christ in us. You have his righteousness. He took away your sin. He covered it. You're justified. You are sanctified. All right? You can live holy lives. When you stand before the Lord and give account for every single idle word that you've ever spoken, the Lord Jesus Christ is your advocate, and he's going to say, I paid for that. Welcome into the kingdom of your Lord. Now, you believe that. Why wouldn't you believe that God's going to answer every single one of your prayers? Why wouldn't you believe that he would hear every single thing that you have in your heart? Why would you not believe and just humbly come before him in prayer and stop worrying about, I'm not good enough. I'm not holy enough. I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. Because you all do that, right? I do it. You do it. Just be honest people. I'm too old. I'm too young. Too stupid. Too smart. Whatever. We got a lot of excuses. We have a lot of excuses. Remember? It's all numbers. Doesn't matter. Why would we not believe that we are in partnership with him? Therefore, anything that you need, and I'm talking about godly, you need the bread on your table, the roof over your head, the ability to have a healthy and whole life, the ability to be able to reach out and touch and hold forth his word, do all the things that God would have you to do. Live joyfully, without fear, without bondage. Why would we believe that when we pray that he wouldn't answer that? Why are we so challenged that way? But you don't understand. You're partners. Intimate relationship with you. He wants you to have an intimate relationship, a practical one with him. See, my relationship with my family is very practical. Very practical. Everybody shares, everybody affects everybody, it is a very practical relationship. If I wreck the car, then the car gets wrecked, I got it. Or if I need to provide something, I need to do that. Or if I receive something, this is all very real. When I'm dealing with my family, I'm pouring my heart out to God for them in prayer, I'm holding the rope. They're holding the rope for me. They're praying for me. This is very practical. Why would we doubt? It's because we haven't practiced our faith, and you haven't made it that practical in your life. See, the more you put on a God's word, the more you believe it, the bigger your faith gets. Then these questions that I'm bringing for you shouldn't be an issue any longer. Do you see what I mean? I mean, some of these issues were more so a few years back and less so now. But that we're still tempted with the same lies that come our way. These are lies that God wouldn't hear your prayer. They just plain are. If God gave his son, Romans 8, if he gave his son, the one who never sinned, he gave his life for you and for me so that we could have this very practical, spiritual, and yet it's going to be a very tangible spiritual reality in our lives. Just hasn't come yet. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. It says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Well, that's an intimate, Abba is daddy in our terms. We cry, Daddy. We have that kind of relationship with him. Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're children, then you're an heir. Heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together. You know what? This life is a pain in the neck. Have you ever noticed it? It was a pain in the neck for him too. And yet, if you go through it and you believe God and you do your best to do it, regardless of the pain, regardless of the turmoil, regardless of the ups and the downs of this particular life, if you and I really do this for the Lord, then we've suffered like he. I haven't been beaten yet. I'm not looking forward to it. But if I am, take it good. All right? I'm not expecting it, but you know what? There's a lot of things that happened in the last many years that I never would have dreamt that I would see in my lifetime. I never would have dreamt to see people's heads chopped off, you know, and executions. I never would have dreamt that growing up. But it happens. There's a lot of things I never would have dreamt was going to happen. And they're starting that. They happen. But that's not a commentary. It's the evil world is the evil world we live in. I just got to deal with it in a godly sense, just like they did in the first century. Just like Paul, when he was getting beaten, going from one place to another, just holding forth the word. And he was doing it joyfully, happily. We do it for him because he's done it for us. It's a partnership. And whatever you need, ask in prayer, believing, I will do it. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is that is required to take care of you, you know, the Lord provides. My grandmother always used to say that. I don't think she knew much scripture, but she believed that one. She went through the depression. She was a single parent during the 30s when my mother was born. She had nothing. She used to clean people's houses, and because women didn't get a lot of work back then, you know what I mean? But the Lord always provided. Lord always provided. She believed that. He'll take care of you. I don't care what goes on around here. But do you believe that? As much as You believe that you have the salvation that you have been promised. Because if you don't believe that you got that salvation, we need to start there. But if you do, why would we doubt a Father who has given His Son, who has blessed us with so much, who has invigorated our lives with life and joy and peace? Why would we doubt? Why would we doubt that He would not take care of every need that comes our way? Just pour it out to Him. Pour it out to Him. Ephesians. See, if we have all of this spiritually, and we're supposed to have a good thing with each other, what are the directions that we have been received to walk the Word with each other in the church? They're pretty simple. There's nothing complicated here. This is not rocket science. This is spiritual truth. And God makes it always simple. You know, how do you do a miracle? Remember that? That's one of my favorite things. He teaches Moses to do a miracle. You remember that? He says to Moses, I'm going to send you to do it. He says, I can't do this. What are you kidding? He says, what's in your hand? Stick. Throw it on the ground. You can do that, right? He throws the stick on the ground. It turns into a snake. He runs away. He wasn't expecting this. He wasn't expecting. This is the lesson in the Bible of how to do a miracle. Just do what I tell you. Hold the stick up. The Red Sea splits. Keep your hands up. The armies prevail. You can't keep them up by yourself. Get somebody on either side to hold them up for you. You remember those records? Well, just hold up your hands. The army prevails. Just do it. It ain't rocket science, is it? Have to work myself up into a spiritual ladder to get it done. Just throw a stick on the ground when I tell you to. Watch what I do. Your end is to throw the stick. His end in the partnership is to do the thing. Your end is to pray. His end is to answer the prayer. You ain't got to work yourself up into some. I know a lot of people do. God bless them. It's what they believe. What people believe is what they do. But it's not necessarily what it says. You know how Jesus healed the leper? I will. You can do it if you want, Lord. I will. It's done. There wasn't any showmanship in this. You know, people in church call singing worship. That is so pathetic. Worship is so much bigger than praise. It's you bowing. That's what the word worship means, to bow to the Lord. It's in everything you do. You're in partnership with Him. Do you got that fear, that reverence that they had in the first century? That fear, that reverence, and everything you do, you are doing, bowing to His word, His will, because of your fear of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. This is what the instructions that we are told. This is written to the faithful. This is the instructions of how we're supposed to be dealing with each other. It's real simple, straightforward, nothing fancy. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, and he was in jail, but he's also the prisoner of Christ because I'm locked into Him. beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. How? With all lowliness and meekness, humility and meekness. Long-suffering, putting up with a lot. Now, this is with each other. You just put up with stuff. My wife puts up with me all the time. She knows how to do this. That's why it's long-suffering. 46 years worth. Long. God, I can't stand it. I can't see you. None of you smile. It's like... meekness, long-suffering, forbearing. This is work. We forbear one another. We put up with one another in love. When you're born into a family, you don't pick your brothers and sisters. Some of us got good ones. Some of us got... It doesn't change. You're still brothers and sisters. You're still family. You're still bound together. You're still in partnership with one another. You can't get away from each other. Now, I know that most ungodly households, they do more damage to each other. I'm not talking about... I'm talking about people who want what it's supposed to be. You endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You fight for it. You endeavor. These are all words that are necessary. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you were called, and one hope of your calling. Like I said, I got you for eternity. When Cher did that song, I Got You, Babe. Yeah. I have you for eternity. And you guess what? Eternity starts now. Since we may go to sleep, there may be a little pause, but when we get up, we got each other forever. So in the meantime, we humbly and meekly, with long suffering and forbearing one another in love. We fight for each other. We fight for this partnership, this relationship. There ain't no quitting. I'll never quit on you. That's my prayer. I ask God for help on that every day. And you endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You just endeavor. This is all these words are something that is work. These words are work. These words are sacrifice. These words are that of, this is going to be a job. But it's not undoable. It's a choice. We share fully in what his blood, right? He cleansed us all. We received his righteousness. You are. In God's eyes, it's already done. We have to, in this life, we walk through it, we do the job we got to do with this thing, we bear whatever comes our way. We do it like he did for the Lord. We live for him because he died for us. Go back to 1 John. Finally going to take you back there. Sorry. 1 John chapter 1. See, this is a very practical bond. This is a very practical bond. This partnership, this fellowship. And it says in 1 John 1:6, it says, if we say that we have fellowship, this partnership, this koinonia with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth? You say you have a partnership with him, and yet you're going to walk contrary to his word and in darkness? Remember, the light gives you eternal life. Darkness is the other side of the coin. Then you're a liar. You ain't got one with him. You do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, verse 7, as he is in the light, we have koinonia. We have this partnership one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sin. And if we say that we have no sin, you know, hey, I'm cool. Yeah. Guess what? We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if when we sin, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is real practical, isn't it? This is moment by moment, day by day, mental place you go after mental place you go, and yet your Father who lives within you, the Christ that is within you, the blood that has been shed for you, this is a moment by moment, day by day thing. This partnership. You confess your sins? Come on. Come on, kid. You say you don't have any sin? What are you? You're deceived. I don't know about you, but I am tempted to sin and sin on a regular basis. I just drive down the road and get cut off, and I need to ask for forgiveness. You know? Stuff happens. I need to ask. And you know what? It's real. I know that he forgives. I confess my sin, whatever I've done, and he will forgive because he's faithful and just. He died for this. You know, it says, and the Lord knows that we're all going to sin. He knows that we fall short. I know that there are churches out there who say, oh, you shouldn't have to sin no more. I don't read it that way because in the Lord's Prayer it says, you know, don't lead us into temptation. Forgive us, you know, our trespasses as we forgive those around us. And, you know, when we're dealing with each other, we sin a lot. What'd they do that for? You know? Stuff happens. I just want you to realize that this is practical. This is every day. This is something that you practice, that you partnership with the Father with in your life. Same thing as you practice. You know, you're going to lose your job or your income, right? Will God provide? Well, you get to asking him to do so. And guess what? I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread, it says in the scriptures. I have never seen the Father forsake his children. My grandmother in the middle of hell in New York in a tenement building with a kid never went hungry. Did she have everything that the neighbors had? No. But she had her need, her daily bread. We're not talking about what your faith able to come up with. What are you practicing in your faith? I used to pray for parking spaces and get them. Every time I go to Ralph's house, I have to pray for a parking space. Susie's was easy. Ralph's not so much. And then but in Astoria, I'd pray for a parking space. I prayed for silly things. I prayed for big things. I prayed for things that were beyond reach. I prayed for God to teach me his word. I prayed, well, in the beginning, I didn't know how to read. prayed for God to help me learn how to read. And Mary taught me how. And I had other people help me. I wanted to teach the word. I prayed that God one day would allow me to do it. And all these years I'm standing here. This was way out of reach back then. Way out of reach. God can do what he got in your heart. What he got in your heart. And I'm talking about your needs, but I'm also talking about what God wants to partner you with to do in this world. See, he's given us all these things. But before we go there, I want you to go to verse 10. Chapter 1, verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. See, this word that's given to us of life tells us what is and what is not of God. The more I put it on in my life, the more my life looks like what he wants. You know, if I don't know something, then I don't know it. But the more I put the word on, I start to understand. And I start to see the truth. And the truth makes you free. And it's that kind, but you ain't going to see it unless you're reading it. Look at Luke. Luke chapter 11. And you know, when Jesus Christ taught the people, I want you to think about this. Think like I'm a blank slate. I don't know anything. I'm going to hear what Jesus says for the first time. Can you do that? Luke 11. Try to pretend you're a blank slate. And you're going to learn something from Jesus for the first time. First time. You don't know nothing. You believe that this man does miracles. You've seen that. Put yourself in the shoes of the people that are sitting in front of him. You know he's doing miracles. There's fabulous things happening. Healings, all this other stuff. Let's hear what he's got to say. Verse 1, it says, and it came to pass that he was praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, now here it is, he's going to teach you how to pray. When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is in debt to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and say unto him at midnight, I say unto, and go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves. I need three loaves of bread. It's midnight. For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come unto me. He's come unto me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within, inside himself, will answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot arise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not give him, not arise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, because he's a pain in the butt, I will arise and give him as many as he needs just to get rid of the guy. I'm going to give it to him. And he said unto them, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be open. And if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And then he went about casting out devils. This is it. This is your only lesson. You're a blank slate. Is there anything that God will not? You just be a pain in the neck. You come and you ask and you ask and you ask and you persist and you humbly come before your Father in heaven because he's so much better than you are. And if you would give me a piece of bread if I asked you in your home, how much more would he? You just persist. You keep asking. You keep seeking. You keep knocking. You want to receive the Spirit into your life? Just ask. This is the instruction, this whole class. Ask. Believe he will. Have an anticipation that he will. I command it, I'm going to make it happen. When God tells you to command it, that's when it will happen. He's not working for me. I didn't walk up to my daddy and say, give me the keys to the car. Whoa, we all know where that would have went, right? So you're going to have that stupid attitude with your Father in heaven? No. We are the children. He is the Almighty. We humbly come and ask. And we keep asking, and we keep asking. And you know our good Father, our Abba Father, every time you knock, every time you ask, every time you seek, want this, you'll get it. I don't know exactly every moment that you'll get it, but you will get it. You will be able to teach. You will be able to, if that's what's in your heart, you will be able to do anything that hits in his word. Now, he isn't going to give you the ability to sin like a trooper. You already have that. Point is to live like our Lord, to walk in the light as he is the light. We might have fellowship, partnership, an intimacy, a communion with him. And our communion is also with one another. The instructions for how we deal with each other, that's pretty easy. But one of the main jobs he's given us, since 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he wants to partner with you and me. In fact, he's given us this and excluded others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "For the love of Christ constrains us. It yearns us. It calls us constantly. It's calling to us. Because we thus judge, we figured it out, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he that died for all, and that he that died for all, and they which live should not live, should henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." I don't have Jesus next to me. I got him in me. I don't know what he looks like. I assume he was handsome. I assumed he looked like a Middle Easterner. I assume a lot of things, but I don't know. I ain't got a picture. It's okay. I have him living in here. I have him prayerfully helping me, directing me, counseling me, teaching me, and giving me whatever it is that I need when I need it. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself. See, God partnered with Christ to reconcile us to him by Christ Jesus, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Read that verse again, 18. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And he has given to us now this ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ. I want you to understand this, to wit. I want you to get it, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, to the Father, to not imputing their trespasses. He didn't count their sins. He didn't come to hammer them. He came to save. They were already hammered. The world out there is hammered. They are a disaster. They are casualties on the spiritual battlefield. He didn't come to impute their sins unto them, trespasses unto them, but he has committed to us the word of reconciliation, this word of light. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though that God did beseech you by us. Though God did beseech you, is beseeching you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. You have God in Christ, and you know what they want to do? They want to reconcile the world to the Father. And you're the partner. This is real tangible. You've been given the ministry, the service of reconciliation, and the word of reconciliation. That's the job. That's our purpose. And God is going to do everything in his power to make this happen, as long as he has a believing partner. Somebody he'll trust. This is what he wants. This is what he'll do. This is our, you remember Ananias, when the Lord called Ananias, hey Ananias, I want you to go down the street, call straight, there's Saul, all right, he's the one that's been throwing them Christians in jail and beating them and stuff like that. I want you to go down there because I have showed up to him. I made him blind. I met him on the road to Damascus, and he has a vision that a guy called Ananias is going to come and visit him and heal him. And Ananias says, whoa, you sure, Lord? He's done an awful lot of evil. This is real, isn't it? This is where the rubber meets the road, where the Lord calls you out to do a job that, guy looks spooky. I remember going into a bar one time, and the guy with the tattoo, the biker, he was a biker, you know. If he didn't have a bike, I would be amazed, right? And yet, just start talking the word to him, and you know what? The guy just started to tear up. He never would have thought it. And I had other people where they looked just as mean and arrogant, and they acted just as mean and arrogant. You have no clue what's coming your way, but that's the job. You don't judge a book by its cover. See, if you want to be like the Ananias, a certain disciple that changed the history of the world, then you decide to partner with God and do what he says, when he says it, and how he says it. You ask him, how do I do this? Maybe you've done it successfully before, maybe you haven't. Well, maybe you ought to ask him, what do I do now? See, it's a moment by moment. Don't just assume you know what the heck you're doing. Don't just assume that you're locked into your little mentality. You know, oh, I'm just a street kid from Queens. You know. So you can go talk to a king. The Lord will show you how. Paul was just a Jew. He was talking to Caesar in the house over there. I don't think they were real impressed that he was Jewish. I don't think anything means anything because you got God in Christ in you. He wants this real, real partnership. And like I said, it's very practical. The person who won you to the Lord Jesus Christ and to our Father is a very practical thing for you, wasn't it? And I don't think that they were super spiritual. I don't. I just think that they partnered with God. They spoke, you heard, God worked within you. That's the way it works. Throw the stick down. Eternal life for somebody. Eternal life. You didn't give him eternal life. God did. You just threw the stick. You follow? And ask your Father. Ask your Father for everything and anything you need. Practice your faith every day with every one of these things that I'm talking about. In a practical way in your physical life, in a practical way in your spiritual life. You want to learn something in the scriptures? You ask him. Ask him, read his word. Don't read other people's stuff. Just read his word. And ask him to teach and to show. He will. Knock, it'll open. Seek, you'll find. Ask, it will be given. Just keep doing it. Don't quit. Don't quit on him. And I love you all very much. I hope you have a great holiday. And I'm just real grateful for your lives. So God bless.